Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome to Wellspring. We say it's the place to be, and it is. It's the place to be revived, renewed, refreshed, healed, restored, forgiven. It's the place to have a new beginning. It is the place to be. And we also say here that time spent at Wellspring is time well spent. And we believe that the Lord has given us those phrases. So we welcome you here this morning in the sanctuary, and we also welcome those who are joining us by means of Wellspring TV. Wellspring TV was started just over a month ago, and in that time we have had, I think it's 1,100 and something people, number of people who have watched the broadcast, either not always live, but they've watched the recordings, and each service is recorded, and you can watch it again and again and again, and many people are doing that. So we welcome you if this is the first time that you have come our way, and we pray that the blessing that we're experiencing here in the church, you will experience wherever you are. I think technology is wonderful today. You can have an iPhone, a smartphone, a tablet, a computer, a laptop, and you can just join us from anywhere in the world. I think it's amazing, and I thank God for it. So you're very welcome indeed, and there is a number on the screen that you can contact us on. You can send a text message with your prayer request, and also there's an email address there as well. And we'd love to hear from you, whether during the service, if you want to send a message, please do, and it'll come to me, and I'll read the prayer request, and we'll pray. So may you be blessed as you watch, and may the Lord deal with you in the sense that whatever your need is, we believe Christ is the answer. He's the Savior. He's the healer. Behind me on the wall here, we have a text which says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you open the Bible and you see what Jesus used to do, well, he's the I am. He's not the I was. He does those same miracles today. Praise God. So we thank him. Let's just pray briefly, and then I want to share with you the third part of a special message on happiness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have today of sharing the precious word of truth. We thank you, Father, for the lives that you've changed through the years, because people have come to this church, but they have believed your word and they've received your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And their lives have never been the same again. They have been transformed. They've been made new. And as we begin this message this morning, it is our prayer that everyone here in Wellspring and everyone watching now or everyone who will watch the recording, Father, it is our prayer that you will speak to each one. You know the needs. You see into every heart and you know every life. You know what people are struggling with. You know just what word they need. You know the desires of the heart, the longings of the heart. And Father, I pray that you will guide me by your Holy Spirit so the message will not just be a message, but it will be a message that's relevant, a message that touches lives, a message that brings change. Father, I thank you for the honor of standing before your people on your day in your house. I thank you for that honor. I don't take it lightly. I thank you for your precious word. Father God, I honor you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, I honor you. Holy Spirit, I honor you. Precious word of truth, I honor it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this message this morning is the third part of a special message on the subject of happiness. And the title of this section of the message is Happiness, the Heart of the Matter. Happiness, the Heart of the Matter. When I began the message some weeks ago, I felt it would just be a one-off, but I could see clearly it wasn't going to be. So rather than just rush it all and just, there you are, make the best of it, I have endeavored to take it slowly, step by step. And I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're being blessed by it. There was a lady here last Sunday who couldn't wait to get home, to get on the computer, to get part one of the message. And that was encouraging to me, very encouraging. And going by the number of people who are visiting the website and watching the previous broadcasts, I find that very, very encouraging. May God bless all those who are watching now and will watch the recording. Happiness, the heart of the matter. It could be that I'll finish the subject next week. Could be. I have a feeling it could be, but I'll make no promises, because otherwise someone who's very alert and awake will say, you said you were finishing last week, so I'll keep it open. Can I do that? Just keep it open and see what my heavenly boss says. Because it's a big subject, happiness. You might think, oh, happiness, well, it's just a state of being happy. You laugh, you smile, you have a party. That's not the real life. And I began, you remember, some weeks ago by saying, many people, their happiness depends on happenings. But that's not real happiness. Happiness is something else, and I've tried to show you what it is. So happiness, the heart of the matter. Let's get to the heart of the matter this morning. Proverbs 4 in verse 23, by means of a foundation scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, keep your heart. That word keep is guard. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't be flippant about it. Don't be casual about it. Be wholehearted about it. Be serious. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means you watch what you see. You're selective. You certainly are careful about what you hear. Amen. The eye gate and the ear gate will feed into the heart. And I'll explain in a little while what we mean by heart. We don't mean this pump. So I'll talk about that in a little while. It's important to keep the heart, to guard the heart, to protect the heart, to garrison the heart. For out of it are the issues of life. One translation says, out of the heart flow the springs of life. And every time I see springs, I am excited because our church is called Wellspring. Now in the natural, a healthy heart is essential for a healthy body. Sure, we'd all agree. I myself had a triple bypass a number of years ago. I had 3 heart attacks, and that by no way is a boast. We were in Uganda as missionaries when I had 2 heart attacks. And but for the grace of God, I would not be here today. But God in his mercy undertook and answered prayer and got me home. And I had a triple bypass, a pioneer operation, using some parts of my body that I was going to say had never been used before. Well, they wouldn't have been, would they? But what I mean is, it was a pioneer operation. Normally they take veins from your arm or your legs. Well, in my case, they took some special arteries from around my tummy area. And I thank God for the health that I've enjoyed all those years since 1995. I am blessed, and I honor God this morning. I honor him, and I honor Jesus Christ. And every day to my mind is a bonus, and I thank God for it. Praise God. We have so much to be thankful for. And anyone suffering with heart problems, don't allow fear to come on you. Don't be afraid. If God has allowed me to stay for no other reason than to encourage you, then I'm glad he left me here. Be encouraged. I respect the doctors. I respect the consultants. But there is a higher voice. There is someone who has more authority, more power. The man who built us, the one who built us, who created us in our parents' womb. Thank God he's still alive. And he's able to come alongside you and me and rebuild our bodies. I believe that with all my heart. And he's certainly given me many years of real life and enjoyment. And I live a normal, healthy life. And I thank God for that. But let me repeat. In the natural, a healthy heart is essential for a healthy body. And the same is true in the spiritual. In order to be healthy spiritually, we need to ensure that our heart is healthy. What is this heart that the Bible talks so much about? Those of you who have computers or concordances, you'll find the word heart used so many times. So my question is, what is this heart that the Bible speaks so much about? The heart speaks of the inner life, the mind, the thoughts, the motives, the desires. The mind is the fountain from which the actions flow. If the fountain is pure, the stream that flows from it will also be pure. In Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus said that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So I repeat, Jesus said it's not what goes into the heart, It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of a man, and the heart needs to be right. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, of what's in the heart, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In John 14 and verses 1 to 3, Jesus said this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, he said, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. He was encouraging the disciples. He was about to ascend back to the Father, and the disciples he knew would be so concerned when he left. They would miss him terribly. So he's trying to bring them comfort. I call it truth for troubled hearts. But notice those words. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. In the King James, let not. That means do not. Let not your heart be troubled. I wonder this morning how many people in the service and watching, how many people have heart trouble? I don't mean the pump. I don't mean the organ. I mean your heart. You know, your mind, your innermost being is troubled. Your mind is troubled. There's no peace. You're worried. You're anxious. You're not sleeping well. You're not eating well. You have digestion problems. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. And so I have a question this morning for this message. What are some of the things that trouble our hearts? Now, I've not got a long list. I could have, but I haven't. You'll be pleased to hear that. Number one, worry and anxiety. What troubles our hearts? Worry and anxiety. Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus said this, take no thought. What does he mean? Take no anxious thought. You're talking to people, how often they use the term, oh, I'm so worried at the moment. And in love, I say, you shouldn't be worried. Oh, it's easy for you. Why is it easy for me? Because I happen to have the title pastor or vicar or reverend? No. I say to them, but I put my trousers on one leg at a time, just like you. You know, you don't see a halo. I'm not special, just like you. But I've learned, like Paul the Apostle said, I have learned in what service state I am therewith to be content. I've had to learn it through the years. And when I'm conscious that I'm worried and getting anxious, I have to stop it. I have to stop it the minute I recognize it. I have to stop it, not go there. Start counteracting what the devil is trying to put into my mind and into my heart. Counteract it with the word of God. And so the worry and anxiety doesn't hang around long. Take no thought, take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Jesus said, is not the life, our life, is it not more important, more valuable than meat? And the body more valuable, more important than raiment? Verse 31. Take no thought, take no anxious thought saying, oh, what shall we eat? or oh, what should we drink? Or oh, where should we get clothes? How should we get clothed? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles, do the unbelievers, do the heathens. After all these things, that group of people who don't believe in God, that's what they seek after. That's what fills their minds. Well, how come? You mean we haven't got to be worried? No. We haven't got to be anxious? No. Yeah, but what are we to do? He tells us. Seek first, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And all these things will be added to you. Why? He gives us the reason. He says in verse 32, all these things do the Gentiles seek after, but you shouldn't. For your heavenly Father knows what ye have need of. He knows that you need all these things. Now, if my heavenly Father knows what I have need of, and he promises to meet all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, why should I worry and be anxious? Not one amen in the house. I like what some of our black brothers and sisters, they say, do I have a witness? Amen. Your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows. Please get that into your heart and mind this morning. My heavenly Father knows what I have need of. So I don't have to be anxious about him. I just trust him. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 verse 6 is a very famous passage for many people. The Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing. Excuse me? Nothing? No, nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. Be careful for nothing. Well, what am I to do? In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice verse 7, the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding, all comprehension. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds, will garrison your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. I have many favorite verses in the Bible. One of them is 1 Peter 5 verse 7. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Have you done that this morning? Or if you and I were having a heart to heart over a coffee or a tea, and I said, well, tell me, how's life? Would you have a long list of things and you'd say, oh, Pastor Jim, I'm so worried about this, that, and something else. I would have to say to you in love, stop it. Stop worrying. Amen? Stop it. Stop it. Why? Because your heavenly Father knows. He knows. Trust him. He may not, you know, we sometimes have instant coffee. But I don't know about you, it takes 5-10 minutes to make it. And then some years ago you had instant cash. But it took time to fill in forms and stuff, didn't it? But I know what they mean. But there are people who want everything now, if not sooner. Sometimes God says, just trust me. Just trust. Just be still, he says. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll come through for you in my time, not your time, my time. Trust me. Trust me. So be careful for nothing, says Paul. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep. And the word keep means garrison God. Your hearts and minds. Cast all your care. All of it. All of it. Cast all of your care upon him, upon the Lord, upon Jesus. I'm sure you have favorite hymns. I do. One of them is, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to him in prayer. Hallelujah. I have a question. What happens if you allow worry and anxiety into your life? What happens? Oh, I could give you a long list, but I'll be kind to you this morning. Because some of you timed me. Someone reminded me of how long it was. And they were amazed at how long. I said, well, the folks don't come out during the week, so on a Sunday they get a three-course meal. They get Sunday morning, Sunday night, Bible study, prayer meeting, all thrown into the one message. And I was well trained in Uganda. Service is 5 hours long. How about that? So the question is an important one. What happens if I allow worry and anxiety into my life? Listen carefully, please. Well, I'll tell you this. It stops the Word of God being fruitful in your life. It stops the Word of God being fruitful in your life. Stops you benefiting from messages like this. Seriously. Or you can turn on the TV, you can go to Revelation, you can go to this channel, that channel. You can go to a conference, you can go to some church somewhere. You hear a fantastic message. But the benefit will be taken out of it for you because you're worried. You're anxious. You say, can you prove that? Of course, otherwise I wouldn't have said it. Mark chapter 4, parable of the sower. Jesus talked about the sower, the seed, and the soil. And in verse 7 he says this, Mark 4. He says, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 18. Jesus said, these are they which are sown among thorns. Notice, such as hear the word. But here it is. The cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in. What do? They choke the word. And it becometh unfruitful. Please don't let that happen to you. What you hear on a Sunday morning, regardless of who's up here, it's life changing. It's spiritual food. The word of God is able to clean out our lives. It's able to bring healing to us. Strength, encouragement, hope. Please, don't lose the benefit of that by worrying and being anxious. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. You have to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith leaves by not hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. You need to hear the word. You need to read the word. You need to meditate on the word. You see, the word of God is the Christian stable diet. It's the Christian spiritual food. I'm thinking of what Job said. Job said, I have esteemed, I've valued, I've esteemed the words of your mouth, God, more important than my necessary food. How about that? Imagine you go home today and you say, we're not having lunch today. I thought we'd have a Bible reading. Oh my. You wouldn't be popular, would you? Maybe you better not try it just yet. But that's what Job meant. He said, I have esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. And there are some people, let me be kind, but folks who go to the slimming club, please don't tell anybody I said this. But I see them and bless their hearts. I want to say to them, it's not working. Save your money. I hope Joe's not listening. He's the leader of the group in the church on a Monday and Tuesday. I shouldn't be advertising it. But bless the heart. There is proof, if you like. Man shall not live by, cakes and biscuits and jam tarts and trifles and all of that stuff. Jesus said, you'll not live by that alone. You need the word. You need the word. The word of God is the Christian stable spiritual food. No word equals no food. No food equals no nourishment. No nourishment equals no strength. I can prove it. 1 John 2:14. 1 John 2:14, the Apostle John says this. He says, I've written to you, young men. Why? Because you're strong. What's the secret of the young man's strength? Here it is. The Word of God. The Word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. How about that? Some people, when they talk to us, they say, oh, the old devil's done this, and the old devil's done that, and the old devil's done something else. In love, I say, please stop telling me what the devil's doing. Why don't you concentrate on what Jesus has done? The Bible says, 1 John 3:8, he was manifested to destroy the works of that sucker. Well, the Bible doesn't actually use the word sucker. I did. But Jesus was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Colossians 3:16 says this. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You need that, friends. You need that. Bless your heart, you need that. I would encourage you to read the word or listen to the word on a CD or a DVD. Get the word into your heart. Get the word into your mind. I pray that all of us will have sight to the day we die. But small question, what if we didn't? What if we weren't able to read? Would we have enough stored up in our memory that would keep us going through the tough times? Amen? So important. I'll tell you something else. There are many people, bless them, who suffer with mind problems. Dementia. Mind-related problems. I say this from the heart and I mean it sincerely. I have a feeling that if only God's people would get the word stacked up in their lives, I have a feeling before God that the Word of God has healing power and would help to keep the mind healthy. I believe it with all my heart. It's so important. Not worrying about this and worrying about that and worrying about something else, but keeping the mind and keeping it filled with the Word and meditating on the Word. It's how I exist. It's how I cope. Not setting myself up as someone special, but it's how I get through the day. It's how I get through the week and the month and the years. The word comes. I meditate on the word. I'm awake in the night, I'm thinking of the word. Not because, you know, I don't have a halo, I haven't got wings. I have a question, people who believe in angels, I do believe in angels, but I never read of them having wings, but when you see angels, they always have wings. Where does that come from? Just a thought. Just a thought. Back to the subject. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do it now. Do it now while you can. I do. I pray for myself. You may not know this. I see with one eye. You didn't know that, did you? If you're going to hit me, hit me on this one. It's a lazy eye. It doesn't see. You didn't know that. I only share that with you because this one's so important. This one does the work. This one sees a little bit. Say, how do you drive perfectly? You ask my wife, I'm a brilliant driver. This one can see everything I need to see. I see the finger there and I'm looking straight at you. Good vision. No problems. These things just help clarify like you would focus on a camera. Make things clear. I can see without them, but it makes things very, very clear. Moving right along. It's not about Jim, it's about him. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 2, the key to a fruitful life. I want my life to be fruitful as long as I'm alive. What about you? What is the key to a fruitful life? It's the Word of God. The psalmist says, the man that's blessed, the woman that's blessed, is someone that doesn't listen to the nonsense of the world. Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. The psalmist says, don't listen to that junk. They don't walk in the way of the sinners. They don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Well, in my opinion, I don't want to hear your opinion with respect. If it doesn't line up with this book, look at Job's friends. Job lost his children, his livestock, his servants, and Mrs. Job was useless. Well, I don't know why you don't curse God and die, she said. Thanks very much. And these three so-called friends come along. What do they say? Well, we think it's your fault. Gee, thanks a lot. And there are people like that. You need to do this and you need to do that. And if you should do something else. And I think, I'm not interested in what you think if it doesn't line up with this book. And God said to those friends of Job, he said, you did not speak of me the thing that was right. And he said, you go and get my servant Job to pray for you. You see, so the reality is, thank God for friends. We all have friends. The Bible says a man that has friends, he must show himself friendly. But also the Bible says a friend loves at all times. I don't know about you, but friends who love at all times, they're not so many, are they, really? Who love at all times. They're there for you through the thick and the thin, the good and the bad, and the ugly. They're there for you. If you've got friends, I've got treasure them. Let them know that you care for them. Let them know that you love them. Let them know you appreciate them. They're so valuable. But the psalmist says, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to it. What are we to do? Delight yourself in the word. Pastor said, I've got to read the Bible again, so I better read it. It's hard work, isn't it? I hope there's no one in the house like that. It's a delight. You get this book in your hands, it's a living book. The God who wrote this book is still alive. Hallelujah. I said to a sister who's no longer with us in the church, I said, you know, she said, I don't understand the Bible. I said, I tell you what, you come to know the author, changes everything. She didn't like that. Because that was the key in her case. You come to know the author of the book. Makes all the difference. I mean, did you know there's a guy called James Patterson who writes books? He's a famous author. And some people think that's me. But it's not. It's not. And in any case, if I wrote books, no disrespect to James Patterson, the writer of those books, some of the language and some of those things, I certainly wouldn't be writing. But I remember once Ruth and her friend, I was coming back, I think, from Ireland, and they were there waiting like people do, telling you that, you know, whatever your name is, there's a taxi waiting for you. So they had this little placard, and it said, James Patterson. And I came out, and of course, people looked at the... No, that's not him. It wasn't. It was James Patterson, but not that one. But the delight is in the word, in the law of God. And in that law, in that word, he meditates day and night. That'll solve your worry and anxiety problems. You can't do both. Verse 3, look, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, fresh water coming through. And that freshness and that nourishment will bring fruit in its season. And the leaf will not wither. And whatever it does shall prosper. That's the life I want. David the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 11. He said, thy word, Father, thy word, God. He said, thy word I've hid in my heart. That I might not sin against you. Number 2. A second thing that troubles the heart is fear. I'll just show you something. You look at the word fear. One of these days I'll have the technology here where I'll be able to show it to you on the screen. But fear, if I could, I'd put up fear. And what I would do is I would move E-A-R along a little bit so there's a gap. And now what you've got is F and then ear. Why do I do that? Because fear We get fear. We become afraid when we listen to the wrong voices. So the ear is such a part of fear. Fear. 1 John 4:18. John says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. How true this is. John says, fear has torment. Then he says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh, most of you, if not all of you, will know 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Apparently, Timothy was a timid person. Paul told him, he said, come on, Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the gift of God that's in you, the gift you received from the laying on of hands. Stir it up, man. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. But the spirit of what? Power. And what? Love. And what? Sound mind. I'm not being flippant. I claim a sound mind for all of us in Jesus' name this morning. You know how I feel about saying the wrong thing. Oh, my memory. Stop it. Oh, I can't remember. Stop it. You can. You can. If I said to you, what's your name? It's there. What's your home telephone number? It's there. What's your registration? It's there. Most people, some people say, oh, I haven't got a clue. Something that's on the front of the car and there's another one on the back. Mine is HD08, high definition 08, CYS, can you sing? Yes, I can. That's how I remember mine, my number plate. I claim a sound mind for all of us in Jesus' name. I'm being very serious. I claim a sound mind. So watch what comes out. Stop it. You keep saying, oh, my memory. God has acted out my head. Stop it. Stop it in Jesus' name. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And everybody said, great. Fear. A few things that you shouldn't fear. Again, it could be a long list. It's not going to be. Never fear that the Lord will not protect you, because we live in an awful world. More violence than I've ever known. The atrocities that happened in France this week, horrific. Horrific. Syria, Iraq, horrific. Horrific. Horrific, horrific, horrific. Almost beyond our ability to take in. People say, I don't know how people can do that. I have an answer. People who give themselves over to the devil can do anything. Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. We're wrestling against a guy called S-A-T-A-N, Satan. And he's a murderer, the Bible says, from the beginning. Right in the Bible, you open the Bible and after you've got past, in the beginning God created, you have the creation of Adam, the creation of Eve. You have their two children, Cain, Abel. No television. No DVDs, no bad magazines, none of that. But yet the Bible says Cain killed his brother Abel. And Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And he's a liar. But it's easy if you watch TV and you think, I hate what I see when I do watch the news occasionally. But I tell you what keeps me going. I'm going to take time to read it, if I may. Psalm 91. Would you go there with me, please? Psalm 91. Well, you might say, oh, I know this. Do you? And if you know it, do you say it to yourself? Or do you ever allow yourself to become fearful? Notice Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, notice, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Notice, surely, verse 3, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Notice, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's what God's word says. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Notice verse 9, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, because he, because you, because I, because we have set our love upon the Lord, and he set his love upon us. He says, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen? That's one of the Psalms that I live in, and you should too. Never fear that the Lord will not protect you. He will. Secondly, never fear that the Lord will not provide for you. Psalm 23, verse 1 says what? The Lord is my what? I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How about Psalm 84, verse 11? No good thing, the Bible says, will the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly, walk in line with the word. How about Philippians 4:19? The Apostle Paul says, my God shall supply what? All of it. All of your need. According to his riches and glory. Now let me add that Paul was talking to givers. Now I'm not after your money. Other churches may be always after your money. Television programs, blah, blah, blah. Not this guy. But Paul was speaking to givers, people who had given sacrificially. And he says, because you have given sacrificially, you've given above and beyond what really you were able to do. Because of that, my God shall supply all of your needs. I'm a tither, and that's not a boast, are you? But I'm more than tithe. And so we should. I said before, I say again, one of the greatest sermons I ever heard on giving was from a young man called Pastor Ichang, Titus Ichang, in Uganda. We had a conference, and I gave the pastors titles of messages and subjects to speak on at the conference, and this young man got up, and he said, today I want you to turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. I thought, interesting. And he expanded it. And I got the greatest lesson that day on giving that I've ever received in my life. God so loved that he gave. That's it, isn't it, really? That's the answer to tithing and giving and offerings. God so loved that he gave. And that's where I live. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I said earlier I favored verses, and I have many of them through the years. Here's one. This is very near the top of my list. It's Psalm 37, verse 25. And I qualify now to be able to say this. I couldn't say it so well when I was young, but I can now. I'm 50 plus VAT. The psalmist said this. I've been young. and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Doesn't that encourage you this morning? I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, that word seed is children, nor his children begging for bread. That's where I live. I have been young, now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The third thing you should never fear is old age. Don't fear old age. Many people do. Why should you be afraid? Because you've seen others and how they've been. I've been to some of the most horrific residential homes. Smelly, dirty. Horrible. They broke my heart in those places. I don't know about you, but I said, please, God, if it please you, please keep me out of such a place. Keep me well. Keep me strong. Keep my mind healthy. And the day that it isn't, take me home. Because I don't want to go to such a place. And between you and me, I don't think there should be such places where patients are allowed to be in that condition. However, moving right along. Do not fear old age. Why not, you say, Jim? Why not? I'll tell you. And then I need to finish, unfortunately. Just getting into the message, but I need to finish. If you're timing me, don't. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Isaiah 46, verse 3. God says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. In other words, listen, my people. I'm one of his people. So are you if you're a child of God. This message is to you. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me, notice from the belly, from the womb, which are carried from the womb. Notice verse 4, even to your old age, I am he. Notice, and even to hoar or gray hairs. And you say, what about no hair? Don't be clever. Even if you have no hair. God says, I'll carry you. Notice, I have made, and he's made you. And he will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. I love what the New Living Translation says. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Amen. Until your hair is white with age, I made you, I will care for you, I will carry you along and save you. Hallelujah. I need to finish with this story and then pick it up next week, continuing with the heart of the matter, part 2. Many of you may know this story. It was given by a lady called Marjorie Fishbeck Powers. Her husband was dangerously ill at the time, and she had a dream. And the dream has been printed in poem form and in a book form called Footprints. And sometimes you'll see it says author unknown. That is not true. The author was Marjorie Fishbeck Powers, and she also wrote a book detailing what was happening in her life at the time she had this dream. And I'll finish with this morning. She said, one night I had a dream. I dreamt that I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the sky flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. And I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints, and this really bothered me. And I noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life. It bothered me so much that I said to the Lord, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand. Why, when I needed you the most, why would you leave me? The Lord replied, "Oh, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, ever leave you. During the times of trial and suffering, when you saw only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you." Amen? Perhaps that's a message for you this morning. You say, "Jim, often I have been conscious of the Lord's presence. And in a sense, as I've looked, I've seen two sets of footprints, mine and the Lord's. But of recent time, or today, or this morning, or as I'm watching this program, I just feel alone. My friend, you're not alone. Because the one that I serve and have served since 18 years of age, that was a long time ago. He says, "I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you." And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, he said, "Nothing will ever be able to separate you and I from the love of God in Christ." Hallelujah. So in those times when you feel there's only one set of footprints, remember it's then that he's carrying you. And that was the point that I was making. Don't fear old age. God says, "Look, I created you in your mother's womb. And I carried you then. And I've carried you through your life. And when you're old and your hair is gray or gone, whatever, I'll be there carrying you." Hallelujah. That's where I live. All I'm doing really, yes, I'm sharing the word, which is life-giving, of course, and life-changing. But I'm sharing with you, I don't know about secrets to Jim's life. I'm no one special. But these are the things that have kept me going. People say, "I don't understand you. You're always so happy." Well, I met Jesus. Like Neil, our brother at the back there says, I bumped into Jesus. I bumped into him at 18 years of age, and thank God we've stayed good friends ever since. Makes all the difference. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him as your Lord? He is the way to God. He says, "I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father," he said, "but by me." Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you serving him? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you for the dream you gave that lady. A dream which perhaps has spoken to someone specially this morning, or as they watch this broadcast, or someone here in the church. Someone who felt alone. Felt as if somehow you'd moved away, you didn't love them like you used to. And yet, Lord, that is completely untrue, because your love is an everlasting love. Your love is an unconditional love. Your love is an unending love. You loved us so much, you gave your only son for us. So, our Father, I pray that through the message, you will bring comfort, you will bring encouragement, you will bring hope. You'll bring life. And if someone has watched or is watching who doesn't know you, Lord, as Savior and Lord, I pray they'll open up their life and they'll let you in. Let you take over. Let you be their Savior. You're the only Savior. Let you forgive them for their sin. Forgive them for their past. Give them new life. You said, "I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." May that be so today, I pray. Bless us here, Lord, as we continue to end this service, and those that are watching and those who will watch. May your words speak to them, we pray, and bring life. You said the words, Lord Jesus, you said the words I speak to you, their spirit and their life. May it be so today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.